What a beautiful hymn. This morning, I think like Paul, in so many of his letters or communications with others, was always so thankful for his, for the partnership of the church communities in the region around the Mediterranean that worked with him to spread the gospel to those who really needed it. And he would almost routinely conclude that with a, "And I pray that our work together will continue until the Lord comes." I mean, there were something of that. It was a blessing and an expectation. Well, this morning we, you know, celebrate a partnership in the spreading of the gospel that began years ago, 15 years ago. Gustavo and Cheryl and their family joined us as partners in the work at Brewer Road, a mission, a ministry, a church community specifically addressing the needs of our Hispanic community. And Goyo was there, and Gustavo was joining him in this work with our belief that with our support we could sustain this amazing work. And God has blessed them and us in ways that we just didn't understand. For those of you that have never met Gustavo and Cheryl, his wife, and maybe their family, you need to, because they're really special. God puts people here on earth that are special to do his work and to show us how to do it and how to help do it. Over these years, it's been a joy to watch Gustavo and sort of go from that tentative but dedicated missionary to now grandfather with some good gray hair and an elder at a church that has matured to a really wonderful, stable, giving church family in our community. And we've been blessed to partner in that work. So this morning, it's a privilege and it's a joy to spend some time letting Gustavo Prato, the minister and one of the elders at the Brewer Road Church, share with us that work and give us some ideas on how we can work better. Good morning, Gustavo. Thank you for being here.
We're going to study in Acts. We're going to go to Acts chapter 6. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the what's going on here and what is going on in Brewer Road, because part of the spiritual practice of studying the Bible and applying it to our lives has to do with the fact that we need to see the verse and see how it lives, how comes to life in our particular space and time. So what is happening here in Acts is that the church has been growing a lot by the thousands in the first five chapters. Like we just read in chapter 2, 3,000 come at the first sermon, they get baptized, and the church keeps growing and growing and growing. So when we get to chapter 6, we find the first problem is internal. What happened with Ananias and Sapphira was different because it was their sin. It was internal. It was a sin from members of the church. But in this case, it's different because over here, there's a potential of conflict between two groups. And that's never good, okay? So let's read in verse 1, Acts 6:1. It says, "In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food." So I'm not going to go too much into the detail of how to do the tables and feed the needy. I'm going to tell you about an overlook that we've done in our situation. Over here, we see a sign of the church maturing, organizing itself, fixing the load, you know, as we go. The apostles' ministry of prayer and teaching gets recognized and apart. They don't just take it out and mix it with other things. They know that that's an important thing that the apostles are doing. But then this group comes along, and these are the Hellenists. So these are Jews that settle outside of Palestine and that spoke Greek as their dominant language. We know that Greek was the language of the time, and a lot of people spoke Greek, but they weren't fluent. Most of them were bilingual, at least. And usually they have a dominant language, and the other one was kind of that they could understand and get along. But these Hellenistics were Jews that lived outside. So they read the Septuagint, for example. On the other side, the Hebrews would read the Hebrew Bible. So there were differences. And as far as we know, the difference between the two groups is primarily linguistic. Okay? It was about the language they spoke. But also, that brings with that ideologies and cultural differences. So that created a clash in the worship at church. Well, the apostles, what they do is that they choose seven Hellenists to serve this group. They choose seven men that were filled with the Spirit, were wise, and they care for the people. So it's kind of, they weren't the 12 apostles that were Hebrews to serve to the Hebrew people. These were Hellenists. They spoke Greek as the widows that were being overlooked. The term that I want you to think about today, there's a lot over here to think and to study, and it's fascinating. But the word that I want you to consider today is overlooked in verse 1. The widows were overlooked. And now we're going to talk about our situation. We have been modifying. We are in a major overhaul a church with the way we do classes, worship, and how we address the congregation. I found out recently, it should have been before, but that, and it's something so logical, it's so simple, that the Hispanic population in the U.S. is growing faster by the ones that are being born in the States than the ones crossing the border. So that means that we have a lot of Hispanics as ethnicity that are being born, are being raised, even those that are that were brought here at a very early age. And I don't know if you've heard about the term, but the government provided DACA, which is like a pass, you know, a recognition of these kids. That this, let's say that they were brought when they were 1 year old. Well, now they're 25. Are they Mexican or are they Americans? They've never been there. They hardly speak the language, which is one of the problems that we're seeing here. But they're not American either. They don't even have papers. And there's, well, the skin is not that big of a deal because, you know, like we just passed the Olympics and we see pretty much the only country, and I love that when I see it, when they're coming in, you know, with the flag and all the athletes, you see people of all colors. And they're all Americans. So what is happening is that we at Brewer Road have neglected a huge part of our membership. Those young people, those kids, that their dominant language is English. And we have been trying to teach them in Spanish and do everything in Spanish. Spanish is my dominant language, as you can see, you know. But they're different. So how do we serve? How do we attend to this population? Well, we have more people that can worship in English than in Spanish. There are some of the adults that don't never learn, okay? And so we're trying to change that. We had our first worship, Hispanic worship in Spanish, 3 weeks ago or so, on a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And this is what happened. Not only our young people came and enjoyed it, not only the kids came and understood what was going on, because they go to school in English, they live in an English-speaking world. But we have been forced in Spanish at church. This is what happened. We have some of our young members, parents are Mexicans, they're married an American girl, let's say. And she never understood anything at church. The people that say hi, that speak English, they, oh, hey, hi, how are you doing? Everybody knows her name. But she could not be fed, transformed spiritually, and she couldn't worship God naturally in her own language. She was fascinated with what we study. And it was rather a simple passage, but she, oh man, I didn't know that. Thank you. You know, okay. So we're trying to minister to those who are there and could not understand. And then we had, in this case, a family. The girl is, her mom is from Colombia, the dad's from Peru. She's lived here all her life, and her husband is an American, African American. And they came and worshiped with us. Hey, when are you going to have another worship like this? We'll be back next Sunday at 4, right? And we're like, well, no, wait. We don't even know what we're going to do. Just hold on. We're planning. This was like a let's see what happens kind of thing. It was great. So what we're hoping is that we're going to bring not only our people closer to God through worship, but also the community. I remember this couple that they came to church. It was a Mexican lady. The guy was from here, and I would see him walking around the hall, back and forth, back and forth. They came like 3 or 4 times. He got tired because he didn't understand anything. And we didn't have the wisdom to do something different. We've tried several times different things. But I think this is it. Having a worship service with the people that are family, but that understand what is going on. When they're singing, they know what's going on. When they pray, they know the meaning. They can say amen. They can go out and say, oh, well, that was a good message. I have to change this. I have to do this. But it wasn't happening. And I'm so thankful because the church, even through this last year that was awful for everybody, the church has been very good. Just 2 weeks ago, we asked for some to stay at home, connect through Zoom, because the building was getting packed. It came little by little. Every Sunday, more people were coming. And I was like, oh, no, no, we can do this, you know. And then, of course, COVID is coming up again. And yeah. So we're going down to a little bit. But the church is well. We're doing good. But we need to reach out a little farther. We want to go out into the community. And we want to be open for everybody. Look in Ephesians. Ephesians 2. This is a fascinating passage. Again, if you have time this afternoon, if you set some time apart on Sunday or in your devotionals this week, consider these passages. Because in chapter 2 in Ephesians, in verse 14, just a minute, I have to, you would not understand if I read it from here, right? Sorry, let me get it. For he himself, verse 14, right? Philippians, Ephesians 2. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Okay? So he's talking about salvation, but then after he says that we are saved by grace, and we can sometimes, and we can, I think, we can take that personal, okay? I have been saved by grace, and it's free. It's through Christ. But then from verse 14 down, he gives a little twist and makes it communal. It's not individual. It's us. It's people. It's all of us together. We're not alone in this. So, of course, we know he is particularly talking about Jews and Gentiles. That's what he has been talking in the verses prior to this. And then we have to apply this to our time, I mean, to our situation. What do I do with this passage? Where do I fit in here? Well, what am I going to do with this? So we've, in the last year, few years, I guess, by now, we've heard about inclusion.
Thank you.
We have been, we hear these words all the time, you know, inclusion, acceptance, that actually we study this morning, what Jesus did in John 4 with a Samaritan woman. That was extremely revolutionary. I mean, that was something else that Jesus did right there. Empowerment, you know, we've heard all those words. And what I see here is that through Christ, the church, is the entity to provide that to the world. So it shouldn't be the United Nations. It shouldn't be the LGBT that are crying out for acceptance and tolerance and inclusion. It's us. It's the church through Christ. But then we don't change in ourselves. How are we going to bring others? And this is what is happening in our congregation. How many times people came and said, in English, hey, we just saw the sign, or somebody told us about you guys here, and we want to worship with you, and we're all excited, and this is my wife and my kids, and I'm looking at everybody, and oh, man, great, thank you. Like, oh, nice, yeah. But do you speak Spanish? No? Hold on tight, bud. You're going for, a treat here. Okay. Empezamos a hablar en español y hacemos todo el servicio en español y cantamos y oramos y predicamos. It doesn't get anything. So what we're trying to do is tear the wall down of division. That wall, according to scholars, Paul is referring to the outer wall of the temple that kept the Gentiles from God. You can't come here. You can't come here. You stay over there. Well, you cannot understand, so you stay over there. And we are planning. We're excited. We've seen already acceptance within the church and from others that are coming. We're pumped. The studies that we've seen and books that has been written about this say that the churches that went that route grew like crazy. I don't know what's going to happen with us. That's the growth in itself is not the numbers. They matter, I think. They're it's important. But the bringing people to Jesus so they can have that interaction that the Samaritan woman had with Jesus on the well. That's what we want. That's what we're doing right now. So, pray for us. Please, thank you for what you do with us. It's so nice to see you. It is very nice to see you. Thank you to the elders and Matt. I just told him this morning, you know, hey, thanks for inviting me, considering us. This is larger than us. This is bigger than what we can think, and God can do more than what we imagine. So what we're trying to do is not overlook anybody. We want to minister to all that come and break the barriers. There is no time for that. I think we need to be in front with a flag of acceptance and inviting and being with everybody. Do you have a song? Do you guys sing? Pray? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. We pray for you. You know, we pray for you. But please do the same for us. I pray myself? All right. Awesome. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you very much for loving us, for coming to us, putting aside your place eternal in heaven. We thank you because you didn't consider to be God and say, no, I'm not going down there. I'm not gonna do that. But instead you came and you took our form and you became like one of us. We thank you for that. The same way we ask you to help us to give us the strength to be like others. To serve, to love, and to have the compassion that you have for us. Help us to pass it along to the other ones in need. We pray for your people everywhere. We pray for this congregation, for the Brewer Road congregation, for all the churches that call your name for grace, for forgiveness, and to worship and honor you. Thank you, Father, again for this morning. We love you very much. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Lord, take